We're back to the Neil Haley Show here on, I can't believe it, Peddling Dangerous Freedom segment. And I'm excited to welcome to the program Philip and Timothy. Guys, thanks for calling. You know, I thought I can't write this stuff, what's happened this week. So I'm going to start out with questions for both of you guys regarding, first of all, the white coat doctors. Who to believe now? I can give a great shout out to Reverend Wynn Henderson, who has been covering on my network for the last month how hydroxychloroquine has cured people with right early onset of coronavirus, cured. And then some major doctors come on to talk about this. So Tim, I'm gonna have you start first. Timothy, what are your thoughts on this whole thing?
Well, honestly, we heard about the hydroxychloroquine, I mean, at least a month and a half ago or 2 months ago, and it started off as nothing but speculation. And the people that we talked to, like other doctors or nurses, they're like, I can't believe this doctor is doing this. I can't believe that doctor is doing that. These are things that I wouldn't think to put together to heal someone. I don't even know where they would come up with these crazy ideas to use this stuff. And well, obviously it comes from somewhere.
And what about you? What are your thoughts, Philip?
So I think it's kind of a three-ring circus, or at least a traveling carnival show at this point. So we obviously did hear about the drug early on. It was being used in some states, having some good numbers with success. Then you had other states like I think it was Nevada that absolutely banned the drug, and they were told no more trials for it, except for they were trying it on convicted felons who were incarcerated and apparently had some success. There was talk of lawsuits being brought up by the larger public as to why can convicted felons have access to this drug, yet we can't. They're getting better, you know, and we're forced to just kind of deal with it and stick it out. I think it's anybody's guess at this point where the clinical trials will go. And of course too, as to what new drugs or combination thereof these guys throw, to the public. I think it basically boils down to, they've turned it into a hugely political issue, and this is something that I feel really needs to be a collective effort from doctors as well as politicians, and of course, you know, we the people. Now, do we get there? Geez, I don't know. An election year at that, it's shaping up to be a very interesting conversation.
No, and the thing with the, it does work. There's been proven stories on how it's worked. And it's been and it's been absolutely unbelievable. And so I'm going to go back. I mean, like, where the 100% cure rate for all the patients early, and people taking it as a prophylactic, like our president. So, Tim, what are your thoughts?
Again, I kind of agree with Philip on this. This has been largely politicized to the point where it's almost iffy about who you can and can't believe about it. We've had so many people come out and talk about how these drugs are not safe under certain conditions. They only use them for certain things, for certain illnesses. And the fact of using them together for something like this, it's not been approved by the FDA. I mean, I just don't really know where I stand on it. Do I believe it? I believe it's there. I believe it's honestly been covered up to the point where we were almost made believe it was false, that it was there. And just now it's coming out.
Philip, would you go ahead and say if you had early COVID-19, would you take this drug?
Yes. Give me what we know works. Go back a little and reiterate my point, or at least where I was driving with the point of it being so political. They've taken a global pandemic and turned this into, it's President Trump's fault, if you ask a liberal, and conservatives blame this all on, of course, liberals. I think what it takes, we need to see a master stroke here from both the doctors and our politicians, our nation's elected leaders. And they need to pull, you know, checkmate on this virus as a whole. Do I think that the drug works? Yes. I think there's no argument. Clinically at this point, I don't know the full numbers on it, but I know that there are so many stories to, you know, the pro side and very, very few, if any, to the con side of this. I would jump at an opportunity where I sick with this ailment. I would jump at the chance to get to this drug. And by the way, I just want to point out that President Trump tried very early on to authorize clinical trials for this drug, and it was almost like running into a brick wall when he met with with the liberal doctors and liberal politicians. They were the ones that
big money. It's big money, guys, and that they want us to go to the emergency rooms. They want us to bill us millions of dollars. They want us to pay for another prescription of another drug for $2,000 a pill. It's all big business, and if they're not going to make money, forget it. United Healthcare went up 133%. Did you hear about that, Timothy?
I did not, actually. Do I think it happened? Absolutely. It's like you said, it's an opportunity for all these emergency rooms and other health organizations to make so much money. But my question is, why now? Why fight so hard against it when we heard about it in the beginning and all of its success rates? Why all of a sudden now?
Ooh, valid point.
The reason now is because the frontline doctors have decided to speak out in D.C., and Trump was silenced with some sort of backdoor deal. But when he saw these guys talking, he says, I'm going to retweet them to make these Democrats look like fools, not knowing what's going on and how it's so manipulated in so many ways. So let's go to other topic in this election. Trump's in deep trouble, Philip, and what are we going to do to have a chance for him to win?
So I think you asked a very layered question, possibly even a loaded question. So according to the polls that we're getting to see, I read this morning he had dropped a full 10 points, which is a damning thing in and of itself. Especially this close out, to election day. But, you know, I wonder, did the polls get it wrong? As they did with Hillary in the 2016 election, even Fox News, which we all know is very highly pro-Republican, pro-conservative, they had Hillary down in the books for the win. And the American people and, of course, our Electoral College said no. I think a lot like that, it will happen again. It's become such a popular thing to say that I hate President Trump and I hate everything about the man. He's a racist. He's a this, he's a that. But yet every bit of the evidence points to something deeper. We have, for the very first time in our history, a president who has in large part donated his entire presidential salary to other charities or other needful things. He's not taken a red penny from this for his services. So that's first and foremost. If you want to know where a man's heart is, you follow his wallet. Because we as men kind of have difficulties giving our money to things where our heart doesn't follow. And so I would say we'd start there. Secondly, if you have an intelligent conversation with a liberal progressive, there's just no facts they can bring to the table to back up any of this bad stuff that they're on TV and on the radio and on the internet screaming about our president. And I think the liberal media pretty much has it, or at least by majority. They have the media pretty much hemmed up. And I don't think the president gets a fair shake in the polls. And I certainly don't think he gets a fair shake, you know, of course, in the news either, or at what we're allowed to see. I think the polls got it wrong again.
We're going to find out. I'm still thinking the polls are a little damning with certain areas, especially how they played a race war. So there's got to be good planning the last 90 days. All right. So let's go right to Timothy to talk about specifically enough the guests. We'll go with 2 weeks ago and then this week. Let's go 2 weeks ago first.
All right. 2 weeks ago, we had Dr. Dean Hart. And that was not only to me a conversation, it felt personalized because he was very forthcoming with the information, but he was doing it on a, I'm not going to say a layman's level, because there's a lot of things that we do understand about the situation, but he was very forthcoming with the information and being simplistic with it enough where I believe that it was able to keep us, obviously, and the guests watching the show and listening to the show entertained and full of information, honestly. The way he came about everything, I had better luck believing his theories and the information coming from him than I did with a lot of the other things, the doctors that we've looked into, the studies that we've done. Honestly, there was just something, I don't know if it was just his charisma or his confidence, but he took my vote. He had me believe in, you know, the things that he said. It was a really good interview. I enjoyed it.
Okay, and that's going to be available again, One Stop. But you go to One Stop here on Facebook, and you can be able to find it. Or go ahead and search Peddling Dangerous Freedom and subscribe to the podcast. All right, let's go with Timothy, with Philip, with the other guest.
Oh, man, where to even start? Dylan Howard. This man has been no stranger to controversy. He has certainly made the proverbial ripples in the water that became full-blown tsunamis, you know, the ones you're not supposed to make, and he certainly made them. He'd done so unabashedly. This man has written books on everything from the Michael Jackson conspiracy, which is we lost an entire show just to discuss all things Michael Jackson related. But this man has covered the last Charles Manson tapes, killing JonBenet Ramsey, Royals at War. This man has gone into every conspiracy theory known to humankind for at least the last 60 years. And I'm going to assume that he probably has as much of his facts in order for the rest of them as he did for the Michael Jackson. This man actually got on our podcast, broke my heart and hurt my feelings in that I went into the podcast believing that maybe Michael Jackson really was just a good guy who was misunderstood, and maybe, you know, just some money hungry parents and kids said some things, and to nope, that got destroyed along with, in fact, most of my childhood, because he definitely had his things in order to show that Michael Jackson was the predator. Very much so the king of pop, but very much so a predator unmatched as well. And boy, I'm telling you, if the people that are hearing this right now, if they don't go and watch that podcast, you are really, really missing out. It did, in a sense, wreck my childhood. But it was kind of reassuring in a way, though, to put aside some of the doubt and hear the facts and say, okay, well, maybe this is, you know, after all, what's so.
All right. Well, those are just great topics. Everyone needs to check it out. So, okay, and let's go right to it. Philip, Timothy, best place we can find information to go and find all the stuff, watch the podcast, like the page, check out everything.
All right, that'll be facebook.com/numeric1stopcast, and you'll be able to see all the shows that we've done so far. We do release the podcast on anchor.fm/theonestop, but if you want to see everything that's kind of up to date right now and get to see the full experience of the visuals with the video, you actually go to facebook.com/onestopcast.
All right. Well, fabulous, guys. Thanks again for stopping by. Great topic. I like going into some political stuff, then going to what your show's interesting. So I appreciate you coming on, and thanks for coming on.
Thank you.
Neil, thank you for having us.
All right. You're listening to the Neil Haley Show. We'll be back in just a moment.